Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Cheltenham starts tomorrow and it can be a challenging time for anyone who is dealing with a gambling addiction. Throw in lockdowns, boredom and isolation. It's probably even more difficult now than it ever has been. To offer advice, I'm joined on the line by recovering problem gambler Owen Coyne and also Professor Colin O'Gara, who's a consultant addiction psychiatrist. You're both very welcome. Owen, I'll start with you. Do you find this time of year difficult?
Do you know, Claire, it's really funny. I had a dream last night that I was in the bookies and I was betting, and it's over 7 years since I've had a bet, and that dream reoccurs maybe once every 6 months. And definitely with Cheltenham coming up this week, obviously there's more advertising around it, and I suppose it's more to the fore. I definitely think that kind of ate away at my subconscious maybe over the last few days.
Isn't that interesting?
That I had that dream.
Maybe Professor O'Gara, you could explain why that happens, the dream about gambling.
Yeah, Claire, it's something that I would hear in my clinics all the time. It is basically what we call cue-evoked responses. So a cue could be anything. It could be a smell, it could be a sight, it could be a memory. So around Cheltenham, we're basically flooded with gambling cues, and you basically just can't avoid advertising and everybody talking about it. So people in workplaces, for instance, would be bombarded with talk about odds and what's going on at Cheltenham. Now, it's a little bit different this year because people aren't going, obviously, but
I feel there's even more talk about it, though, because people aren't going. It's everywhere. The ads are everywhere.
Yeah, you said it in your lead-in. I mean, basically, it is everywhere, and I would call it a crisis upon a crisis, because prior to Cheltenham and the lockdown and all the boredom and isolation that people have been under, there has been, you know, we've had a crisis basically where we haven't had any action on legislation for the best part of a decade, really. So, you know, that's the crisis prior to this. Now we've got lockdown on top of it. So very, very significant, yeah. Claire, yeah.
Before we talk about what might need to happen, Owen, I want to talk to you about your own story, because you were just 14 when the gambling bug bit you.
Yeah, I was. So I started gambling at the local Greyhound track, and I suppose getting people to go in and put a bet on a soccer match or Cheltenham or the Grand National would have been how it started. And innocently enough, didn't see it as something that was harmful to me. But over the next few years, and by the time I turned 16 and 17, I had a part-time job, and I'd get paid on a Friday, and by the end of the day, my wages would be lost, you know.
When I was reading your story, Owen, I just felt really sorry for you, because you're just a child when that's happening and you're going home without even enough money for a bag of chips after your part-time job.
Yeah, it was really strange. And it was, I never even flagged it as a problem as such, you know. I just thought it was something that I'd made a mistake or something like that on an occasion, but then the occasions became more frequent, and it was a slow burner for me. And like, by the time it came to a head, it was consuming an awful lot of my thoughts. 90% of my thought patterns were around, where can I get money for gambling? How can I make up excuses of how I've spent my time to loved ones and stuff like that? I would have been really good at masking what I was doing, but it was all consuming.
And just about every penny you had coming in went out to the bookies.
Yeah, it did. I mean, what I used to do, I used to qualify my gambling. I'd make sure like I had maybe bills paid, or the direct debits came out of the bank account. And from there on then, like, I just gamble everything else. And like, it was crazy. Like, I mean, I just didn't see any other activity in my life, only having it. It was mad.
And then you got to the stage where you had gambled away the deposit for a flat in London, and you had to talk to your girlfriend at the time, who's now your wife, about it. And that was the first time you told anyone you had a problem.
Yeah, it was a really hard thing to do, Claire. And I had stopped gambling 3 or 4 times on my own without ever reaching out for help from anybody, because I saw it as something that was impacting me. But eventually, when I did talk to my girlfriend, it was a really hard thing to do. But I had no other option at the time. I had, like, the only other option was just to disappear, mm-hmm. you know. And I wasn't going to do that. So I decided to confront it, and it was the best decision I ever made.
Yeah, and you haven't looked back, thankfully. But I know you've put an awful lot of work into that not looking back part of your recovery. Colin, we talked a little bit there at the beginning about lockdown and the impact of the fact that the high street bookies and main street bookies, they're all closed. But are you concerned that more people then are gravitating online, and perhaps that's far more insidious?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're very concerned about the online space. And apart from people presenting Clare to our treatment services, the bookmaker profits would indicate, online profits would indicate that there is a big problem there. Also, betting duties from the government for 2021, the first quarter, would also indicate a problem with the online space. So, you know, those betting duties are actually up on last year. So all the metrics point towards increased gambling, and it makes sense, because, you know, the items that you talk about in your lead-in, the boredom, the isolation, they're actually ideal conditions for relapse, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, when I listen to Owen's story and I hear, as I said earlier on, I hear a child being drawn into this world. And that's the concern, isn't it? That there are children who are getting involved in this, be it online or going physically into the bookmakers. That's where the real problem starts, when this culture begins, or this addiction begins, when you're not able to make an informed decision about what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, Claire, that the concerns with gambling disorder in Ireland are disparate and many. We have a lot of concerns about adults, treatment, research and all of that. But if you look purely at adverts that are bombarding kids at the moment on a Saturday afternoon when they sit down to watch a football match, and this is essentially an over-18s product. And, you know, we need to get in and sort this out. I am, you know, somewhat... looking forward to the fact that the minister is, this is James Brown. I had a discussion with him in recent weeks. He is looking at bringing in legislation in the autumn. We have heard this for many years, but I am confident this year, Claire, that we can move on it.
Because we're still waiting for our regulator, even though the legislation is there.
Yeah, that's what he's looking to bring in,
okay.
is to get a regulator in by the autumn, and then to build on top of that. Like, if we get that in this year, it would be fantastic.
Owen, just to come back to you in this Cheltenham week, and I can't get that image of that dream you had out of my head, but if other people are struggling, or if they're early on in their recovery, this is, we know, a really difficult week for them, and can be. What advice do you have for people who might be struggling?
I think it's just reach out, Claire. It's really hard to do, and I'm not saying that it's an easy thing, but just reach out to that person that you have full confidence in, whether it's a loved one, a friend, it might even be a stranger, like the Rutland Centre or problemgambling.ie. There's loads of services there for people to reach out if they don't feel comfortable in opening up to someone that they're close to, because it can be very difficult. Because I found it very difficult when I opened up, even telling my parents or siblings, some of my friends, because I thought that they'd maybe, you know, look at me or treat me differently, or I'd come across to them as being some sort of a failure to think that I have this behavioural addiction, because, I mean, it's not something that I was gripped by that's like a substance such as drugs or alcohol. Mm-hmm. But this behavioural addiction, I thought to myself, there's something wrong with me. I can't stop this, and I should be able to, because I didn't really know anyone that had a problem with gambling as such, who spoke openly about it. So, you know, I thought that the problem was for me. But as I said, when I went and when I got professional therapy, I was living in London, and I got it through a charity called GamCare. And it was life changing. I was able to work with the therapist to find out where the root cause to the problem is. And that's the thing with any addiction, be it a substance or a behavioral addiction. It's getting to the root cause. And from then, like, I haven't looked back, and thankfully I haven't had a bit. And if someone can get there, it opens up their world, and they can, you know, they can go on and they can live a good life.
Okay, well, Owen, thank you very much for talking to us. Owen Coyne and Professor Colin O'Gara there. And if you or a loved one need help or want to seek advice on problem gambling, you can call Gamblers Anonymous. The number is 01-872-1133. That's 872-1133. Or text Problem Gambling Ireland for a call back on 089-241-5401, Monday to Friday, 9 till 5. The website is problemgambling.ie. We'll tweet out those details as well. And just to let you know, we'll have more on this tonight on Clare Byrne Live. The former Armagh GAA star and commentator Oisín McConville will be demonstrating just how much gambling advertising he was subjected to when he watched a Premiership game at the weekend. That's 10:35 tonight on RTÉ1.